Well, good morning and welcome to Saintville Road. And on this Easter day, I say, Hallelujah, Christ is risen. And we all say, He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So let's do that and let's get that well. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Amen. Great. Well, what a fabulous day to return to church in person. For those folks who are here, and it's lovely to have you, you are in this building and for the first time in a long time. Now, we're being good, we're carefully abiding by all the mitigations and regulations. We don't take being back for granted or take it lightly. So we're sitting households 2 meters apart, wearing face coverings all the way through, even when we're singing. Unless you're under 12 or you have a medical exemption, we're singing softly through the face masks. If you're sitting towards the front, leave by the front exit, the door here. If you're sitting at the back, leave by the corner door there. And when you say hello to people outside, and do take a moment to say hello to people outside, but do it outside and try and stay 2 meters apart and keep on wearing your face masks as you have that brief conversation. All that is in place, but you know what? It's great to be back, and it's great to see you all. The Apostle Peter writes this at the start of the first letter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If this morning is a great morning to be back and joining together, how much greater was that first Easter day when Jesus rose and hope truly dawned? We can stand together if you feel more comfortable, do remain seated, but we're going to sing together softly but joyfully. See what a morning. Gloriously bright with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. Let's worship Jesus together.
See what a morning gloriously bright with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem.
Well, we're going to pray together, and towards the end of my leading us in prayer, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together, and the words will be on the screen. Let's pray. Our great and mighty God, one morning, a newborn child lying in a manger announced that you had come to be God with us. And one morning, surrounded by people who rejected you, you were nailed to a cross and suffered and died for us. And one morning, as the stone was rolled away at the empty tomb, it became clear that you had risen again to bring new life to us. This morning, we gather here once again and in our homes and with people across the world and with the angels of heaven to praise you and celebrate those great mornings, those great dawns of your life, your death and your resurrection, your love for us and all of creation. Lord, where there have been times in the past days and weeks where, like the disciples all those years ago, we've failed to recognize that you are right with us, where we've fearfully hidden our relationship with you from those around us, where we've been slow to understand what you've been teaching us and showing us and wanting us to do, Lord, for those times, we are sorry. We thank you that you forgive us. And we ask that this morning and in each coming day, your Spirit would fill us more and more with the life and the love and the hope and the peace and the joy that is ours, because we believe that you have risen, Lord Jesus, and that you reign. To you, our God, Father, Son, and Spirit, be the glory. Amen. And so we join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, one or two things just to make you aware of that are available and coming up. The first is about 30 days of prayer for the Muslim world. It's something we join in with each year, and it begins on the 13th of April. I encourage just to pick up. There's a booklet out on the table there that you may have passed on the way in, and lots of ideas and information for praying. If you haven't picked one up on the way in, and you may well not have done, and you want to this morning, you can, as you go out, you can go back out round and in through the main door and pick one up quickly and come back out again. There's a suggested donation of £1 just to cover costs, but don't let not having £1 on you stop you taking one. And they're also here next week, and it begins on the 13th of April, so there's time this week or next if you want to pick one up, or contact John Hamilton if you want to get hold of one too. Taskmaster Zoom, our church family fun evening, is tomorrow evening at 7:30. There's a little trailer about it coming up here, I think. As I said at the last service, that gives you absolutely no indication of what's going to happen tomorrow night, but hopefully it whets your appetite. Dave wants me to stress that come to be entertained. You don't have to worry at all that someone's going to land on you and make you do tasks. They have been done, and they're there for your entertainment. There'll be good chat and crack and watching those on Zoom together. So come to be entertained, 7:30 tomorrow night. The details are there. And just a reminder too about the following weeks. So we're going to revert back to alternating odd-numbered districts next week on the 11th of April and even-numbered districts the following week on the 18th of April and alternate that for the foreseeable future. But each week, the Ark and Sunday picnic will be available. So if you're coming with young children, bring them in this way and through the doors this way and drop them off in the halls, or go, if you've got very young children, to be with them in the hall for Sunday picnic, and then come in this way. And so odd number districts next week, even numbered the following week, alternating fortnightly. And they'll also be live streamed, of course, at 11 o'clock each Sunday. And they're available afterwards too. We're going to come to our reading, and it's from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 23, and Iris Francie is going to come and read it for us now.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together and the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Amen.
Thanks, Iris. I wonder, who's ever moved house? I imagine most of us have moved house. Who's moved house recently in the last 3 or 4 years? Had that experience of being in a new place. I wonder, can anybody remember what it's like to go away on holiday and to be in a holiday house or a new place? Have you ever woken up and opened your eyes and it's taken you a few moments just to figure out where you are? It's new. It's unexpected. Perhaps that was the first morning in a new house. Perhaps that was the first morning on holiday. Perhaps you just did your bedroom up differently and woke up and thought, goodness me, where am I? In situations like that, you have to figure out some things quite quickly, don't you? Like, well, you know, where are my mum and dad? How do I get to the toilet from here? What's the new routine going to look like in the morning, getting dressed and having breakfast? The first morning of something new changes things. Back on that first day of the week that we heard about in John's Gospel, the disciples, men and women, woke up to the start of something new. Now, maybe it didn't immediately look different to them, but they did struggle to work out what their eyes were seeing as the day went on. But they woke up not to the first day in a new house or the first day on holiday, but to the first day of new creation. And that changed everything. The story of the Bible begins with a week of creation. God makes everything wonderfully well and to be enjoyed with him. That's how it pictures the start of all things, a week of creation. But as the story goes on beyond that, humans make a mess of living and of living in that creation. Sin, our turning away from God, and death, the consequence of that, mar all that God has wonderfully made, not least us. But the truth of Easter is that God came in Jesus Christ to deal with sin and death by his own death on the cross. And on the first day of a new week, it's exactly what John says, and all the other gospel writers make note of it too, the first day of a new week, the most amazing event in all of time and space since the very beginning of creation occurs. Jesus rises from the dead. On the first day of the new week, God is beginning to make everything right and new. We might say on the first Easter Sunday, the lockdown of sin and death and the grave was opened up, and the disciples were beginning to wake up to a truly new normal for life across all of creation. The big truth of Easter Day, of the resurrection of Jesus, is that God's kingdom of life, forgiveness, renewal, hope, truth, justice, love, has arisen with the King and has taken root in this broken world, purposefully changing all who put our trust in the King into glorious newness. But it's interesting, isn't it, that as this happens, Jesus is mistaken for a gardener here, someone responsible for planting and the nurture of new life and beauty. Maybe it's a little bit reminiscent of the Garden of Eden at this new creation. Anybody here gardeners? Anybody keen gardeners? There's a few people. I bet more people are. Anybody planted anything already this spring? I can't say I have. It's not really in my skill set. But in a garden, you plant things and you wait for them to bloom and take shape in your garden. Victor Curry was here at the earliest service, and he's planted some beautiful daffodils and other flowers, which hopefully, if you're here, you saw on the way in, just adorning the front door there. We have a lovely courtyard too. Stephen's over lockdown, renewed and refreshed, and is looking great. We're also hoping to develop a little community garden out on the space out here where people can come, and groups and families and people of all ages and people from the community can come and plant new life and nurture new life and chat about new life as we do that together. But Jesus likes his gardening metaphors, and he's previously used one. We heard it in Mark's gospel a few weeks ago about the kingdom being like a seed that's planted and takes root and grows into a tree, filling the whole earth, that provides the basis, the shape for all of life. The resurrection of Jesus begins the new life of the kingdom that grows and shapes the way we live every morning we wake up. And that's powerful and important, isn't it? Especially as we wake up to newness in our and change in our lives right at the moment. Today we can gather once more, which is great. Not that that is necessarily the marker of huge change, though. In this passage, Jesus removes his face covering, gathers in a small room with all his friends for the first time in ages, and breathes all over them. Truly, that's going to incur a huge fine, isn't it? Yeah. We're not there yet. In fact, I hope we're never in the place where we're breathing all over each other. But certainly not what we should apply from this passage. It's lovely to be back, but we're not getting our hopes up too quickly. And the truth and hope for us about the resurrection here is not dependent on a quick and steady return from restrictions with no third wave, although we do long for that, don't we? The new kingdom of eternal life takes root in an old world still marked by brokenness and disease. But as people of the resurrection, we are people of God's new normal in its greatest sense. People for whom living in the kingdom of the risen Lord Jesus is different than maybe how we once lived to how others live. And it continues to shape and challenge and change us as we live in this world. So as many of us gather this morning in person for the first time in ages in this day of resurrection, and wherever we are, here or at home, we're opening our eyes once again to the new normal of life with Jesus in his kingdom. With that in mind, let me very briefly pick out a few simple but I think important reflections from this story for us to take away this Easter with all that's going on. And the first is this. Jesus' resurrection calls us to faith, not fear. Even following the resurrection, not everything, as we've said, around the disciples would immediately change. The world is still marked by sin and brokenness and disease. But how they saw and understood things was different. I often use these words at committals of funerals. Lord, give us faith to see and understand this not as a graveyard, but as a garden of resurrection. How we see things with the resurrection is important. Jesus' resurrection brings victory over death. It brings forgiveness for sin. It brings hope that's not just wishful thinking or optimism, but it's based on the evidence of an empty tomb and encountering the living Jesus, as we see with the disciples here. Jesus has conquered all, and he is alive. And that means then we need no longer live in fear of other people or in fear of death, but in faith that our lives are lastingly in Jesus' mighty living hands. So we've said from the start, haven't we, it's faith, not fear. We're not going to be rash. We're going to be very wise as we gently come out of lockdown. But our confidence is, and it remains in, Jesus. The second thing perhaps to note is that there's going to be different journeys for us as individuals as our faith works out in the future, but we also will come together to be equipped by God's Spirit. So it's interesting to see the individual disciples here, Mary and Peter and the other disciple who may well have been John. They're quite different in the way they process the evidence that they see and the way they get to grips with the Bible and how they encounter Jesus for themselves. There's a whole range of responses and emotions going on. They're rushing to get there. They're holding back from going in. There's uncertainty and there's clarity, there's joy and there's fear, there's confusion and peace, there's tears and celebration. We see for these individual disciples, varying journeys as Jesus draws faith out of each one of them. But we also see the disciples coming together. And as they are together, Jesus is among them and equips them by his Holy Spirit. So it's perhaps to recognize that trusting and following Jesus into life ahead may not look exactly the same for each one of us. We process that in different ways. But may Jesus draw faith from each one of us. And may bless us as we come together to receive and be equipped by his Spirit. Maybe a third thing to draw out is that I think we may be learning things we maybe should have known earlier, but they're really coming to bear now. There's a line that's in brackets in the translation, in verse 9 in the passage that Iris read that I love. It says, the disciples still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Presumably, the point is that the disciples could have read and heard from the Bible and believed that Jesus would rise from the dead quite a while ago. But it's only now, with empty grave clothes in front of them, that the reality of this truth was beginning to dawn on them. And they were still only just getting to grips with it. Oh, really? Is this right? Is this how it is? I wonder if we'll find things in the coming months, both as individuals and as a church, a people together, that we maybe could have and should have known better and appreciated before this last year. But perhaps only now, some of the truths of Scripture are finding a greater reality for us. Like, for example, we kind of knew before, didn't we, that meeting together was a good thing? But maybe we took the idea for granted. Now we really know the reality of how precious other people are. And lastly, I think we may be challenged about change and about not missing Jesus in the way we see in this passage. I wonder if you ever not recognized someone that you knew well, or maybe missed something that's staring you in the face. Or maybe you're even here at church this morning seeing people you haven't seen for a few months. Oh, goodness. Oh, it's you. You've changed quite a bit. Your hair's grown. You've had it cut. You've grown. It's fascinating that Mary didn't recognize Jesus, at least until he called her by name. Perhaps, you know, it was dark. Perhaps he didn't quite look the same. Perhaps she didn't expect to see him. She almost missed Jesus in the midst of it all. If we're expecting our worship of Jesus to look exactly the same in the coming weeks and months, if we're expecting church to look the same as it always did, if we're expecting simply to hold on to how things were, it might be that we're expecting the wrong thing. We don't want to be in danger of missing encountering Jesus for real in the midst of having mistaken expectations. So we continue as God's people into the coming months, and there will be new changes and challenges to face as we hopefully come out of lockdown. Things will look different. But while the challenge and change of living in this world and as living as Jesus' people is great, how much greater, as we see in this passage, is the presence of the risen Jesus with us, who also reigns alongside the Father and is in and over all things. How much greater is the purpose of the risen Jesus, who, like the master gardener he's mistaken for, tends to the growth of his kingdom and its fruitfulness in our lives and across the world. And how much greater is the power of the risen Jesus, who breathes his Spirit into our lives, that we may know his peace, not our fear, as he sends us out to be his people of hope into this world. May we know the presence, purpose, and power of the risen Jesus in our lives in these coming days. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We're going to watch a very short video that Chris Pollock and Chloe Compton put together around Easter time, really talking about hope and the power of the Spirit and hope that goes out to our communities. You'll see Chloe in different places bringing hope to places. Just watch this for a couple of minutes. It's a little joyful and hopeful, and then Alistair is going to come and pray with us.
We pray together. The tomb was empty apart from the grave clothes and a couple of angels. The women who went to the tomb early that morning were astonished, amazed, and astounded. But Mary was able to return to the disciples and announce with confidence, "I have seen the Lord." May we this morning in 21st century Belfast be filled with the same wonder and thrill and joy of knowing that Jesus has conquered the grave and Jesus is alive. Because Jesus is alive, it makes all the difference to us here and now. Thank you that we can face a world of uncertainty and insecurity in the confidence that Jesus will never leave us. We pray, Lord, this morning for all those, and especially members of our church family, who are fearful and worried about what the future holds, perhaps because of ill health or financial concerns or just the unknown. May they know the peace of God that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, that we can know comfort even in the face of death itself. We pray for all those, and especially those members of our church family, who have come face to face in the past year with the awful reality of death, perhaps through the bereavement of a loved one or a friend. The aching pain and loss will remain, but may they know the presence and comfort of the risen Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can know the joy of spring and the beauty of new life. We all thank you for the beauty that we see around us as spring comes and as plants burst into life, as there is freshness all around as we experience birth and new starts. May we be thankful for the good things we know and rejoice that we can enjoy it all through the risen Lord Jesus. We pray this morning for all those of our society who are marginalized, whether because of poverty or disability or of being a foreigner in a strange land. May we be a welcoming church community where anyone and everyone can feel welcome and have the opportunity to meet the risen Lord Jesus. We pray for all those organizations and groups working hard to bring practical help where needed, to show the love of God, and to introduce people to Jesus. We live in a very broken and divided society, full of hatred and sectarianism. May we be the salt and light, bringing the reality of the risen Lord Jesus to the communities we are part of. We pray the words of an ancient follower of Jesus from many centuries ago. O God, you gave your only Son to the death of the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you've delivered us from the power of the enemy. Teach us to die to sin daily, that we may forever live with him in the joy of his resurrection, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Alistair. We're going to sing that great Easter hymn, Thine Be the Glory. Let's sing together. In a moment, we'll close with a new blessing video that Chris has put together to send us on our way. But first, let me share some words of blessing from Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord.